Hello everyone, Pastor Steve here at the Wilton Baptist Church. I hope you're doing well today. It's an exciting time of year, wonderful season. You can see the beautiful trees behind me changing color. By the way, if you get a good picture of our church property or the church building at this time of year with the background like it is, then please share it with me. I like pictures with this mountain behind us here. It's in front of me right here, but there's all kinds of yellows and oranges and beautiful colors. It'll be red pretty soon. And so please share those, and I can share those with others then. I'm coming to you from one of my favorite places, and it's our basketball court. You can see the fresh blacktop and the nice lines. I've been able to share the gospel with hundreds of teenagers and young adults on this space in the last year and a half or so. Please pray for those who use this space that we've shared the gospel with, that they would respond to the love of God. We have several things to pray for, including those who have lost loved ones. Let's pray for the funeral of Elaine. It'd be on Friday. Also, several people are recovering from illness or sickness. We can remember them in prayer today as well. And we have the blessing bags that we hope to share with homeless folks in the coming days. And so in a couple Saturdays from now, it'll be on the 30th, the teenagers will pack the bags. Many of you have offered items. Please bring those items, and there may be more things needed. So bring those donations soon to the church property, put it in a kitchen there, and then we'll make sure those are packed. Then in turn, we'll give those back to you, packed up, so we can give those away. You can have those in your car, and as you drive, you see a homeless person in the street, you can give it to them, help their physical needs, and then also there's an introduction, an invitation to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So let's pray for that. Participate and help out if you can as well. We have two more messages, Lord willing, in this book of 2 Timothy, and then we'll be taking a time to go online. We'll take a break that helps with host fatigue, and it also helps us to kind of step back for a moment, and we'll prepare and plan ahead for January 2022. Can you believe that? I'm already praying and planning ahead for messages both Sundays and midweek for our scatter groups. And so we'll reorganize our scatter groups and do it again. We'd like to add a sixth group. And that could one of the groups could meet on a Thursday. So we have a couple on Tuesday, several on Wednesday, maybe add a Thursday. That'd be great. If you're interested in hosting, please talk to myself. Do you hear that pileated woodpecker? Oh, there he is. You can't see him. That's my favorite bird. I love watching him out here at the church property, a pileated woodpecker. Well, anyway, let's go on to our message here. After our word of prayer, we are in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to meet. Thank you for each one who's tuned in at home with their families by themselves, those in our scatter groups. We pray that the conversation, the encouragement of fellowshipping together and offering our prayer requests, that you would give great blessings to each one participating in this lesson and message. We thank you for the example of Paul, how he finished well, and help each of us to finish life well, being the offering that you've called us to be, offering ourselves to you. And so teach us now, we pray. Give encouragement today. Lord, we ask for those suffering loss. We pray for those recovering from sickness, that they would come back to good health. And we commit all these things to you for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Are there any race fans in the house? Any race fans? I think there's some in our scatter group, NASCAR race fans. Well, in NASCAR, back in the 83rd running of the Indianapolis 500, Robbie Gordon, with just one lap to go, was not able to win the race. And here's what happened. After the race, he said this. It's the number one rule in racing. He said, you must first finish before you can finish first. You must first finish before you can finish first. So he was in the lead, but with one lap to go, he wasn't able to win the race. While the lead drivers, other ones, had taken a pit stop when a yellow caution flag went up following a crash, he kept going. And he gambled that he could finish the race with 37 laps left to go. And he kept going and kept going, but with one lap left, he had no fuel and had to pull into the pit stop for a splash of ethanol or methanol fuel to be able to finish the race. So he went from first to fourth place, finishing a race. The Apostle Paul likens his his life to finishing a race. By the way, this cough is not contagious. It's not a cold, and it's not COVID. It's that cough I had consistently for many years, and it's been gone for 2 or 3 years, and it's just come back. So if you want to pray for that, that'd be great. I'm seeing a doctor later on today to see what else we can do to maintain no cough, and it's something to maintain all the time in my life, it seems like. So finishing your race, Paul likens himself to finishing a race, and we can finish the race that God has called us to as well. You see, Paul was about to go speak with Nero one more time. Nero was insane. He was out of his mind. And Paul had already talked to him. Paul was under house arrest for a while. He was in a little dungeon, maybe 3 feet wide and 3 feet deep, and in a hole in the ground, basically, and with chains at times. He had a lot of persecution that he had endured, but he was in Rome for a long time waiting to see Nero, and it was going to be the second time he saw Nero. And he says to Timothy in this letter, "Timothy, my time of departure is at hand." Listen to the verses. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing." Oh, I love these verses. A lot of pastors and preachers through the years have loved these verses, and every Christian can love and be encouraged by these verses as well. He says, "My departure is at hand." Do you remember flying, if you've ever gone to an airport, and before they have all these cancellations, like there's thousands of flights being canceled right now, but in a normal setting, when there's not everything being canceled, you would hear over the loudspeaker, "And now departing from gate C3, the flight 473-52 Chicago, or to Atlanta, or wherever you're trying to go." They would say, "Now departing." Paul says, "My life is about to depart. I'm about to take flight, Timothy." And Paul had gone to great lengths in this book to prepare Timothy for the event, and he knew it was going to happen when Timothy would be on his own, when his mentor would be in eternity. And so, "Timothy, I'm ready to go." And notice how he says, "I am now ready to be offered." This is interesting. You may want to underline that phrase because it gives great insight to the mindset of the Apostle Paul. Because to be offered here, it's a word and a meaning having to do with a drink offering being poured out on an animal sacrifice, on the altar of sacrifice. It's an Old Testament reference. The wine or the oil would be used, and they would pour it over a burning fire on the altar. It was already a fire. They had an animal sacrifice on it, and they would pour, it's called a drink offering. They would pour over the top of that offering as they sacrifice as an offering to the Lord. And it could be fruit of the vine or wine. It could be some kind of an oil or something. And I think it's mostly fruit of the vine, though. And there's not much detail. There's a couple chapters that mention it, but not too much detail in the Old Testament. But that juice or that wine, that would evaporate rather quickly. It would go up in smoke. It would evaporate, and because it was already hot, it wouldn't put the fire out. It wouldn't put the coals out. It would just kind of be consumed, and the smoke and the steam would ascend up. And when I was studying this, it really reminded me of the fact that our life is like a vapor. It's very short, and it's probably the idea, part of what that idea of a drink offering is referring to. Because James 4:14 says, "Whereas you know what, not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." I am now ready to be offered, the Apostle Paul said. Now, J. Vernon McGee writes, and this is very graphic, and I'd like to go ahead and read this suggestion from Dr. McGee that may give us some insight. If you had gone into that execution room in Rome, because he knew insane Nero is going to execute him. Paul knew this. He saw his life as a sacrifice to God. In his living and also in his dying, I am now ready to be offered. Very candidly, he said, if it would have been sickening to see him put his head on a chopping block, to watch the big, burly, brutal Roman soldier lift that tremendous blade above his head, then with one fell swoop, sever the head from the body and see the head drop into a basket on the other side and the body fall limp and trembling at the other side. But Paul says, if that's all you saw, you didn't see very much. That happened to be an altar. His life was being poured out as a libation, a drink offering. Paul used that figure of speech before in his letter to the Philippians when he was arrested for the first time and thought death was before him. In Philippians 2:17, yea, if I be offered, that means to be poured out as a drink offering, upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Paul wanted his life to be poured out to God. Now he could say at the end of his life that his life had been poured out like a drink offering to God. I believe daily Paul lived with the mindset that my life is a living sacrifice to God. Now for him, he also is going to die for his faith, as did many of the apostles as well. Christianity does not call us to be martyrs for our faith. It's not like Islam, where an Islamic terrorist will go and blow himself up or try to kill people and then die as a martyr. Christianity never calls people to do that. Now, some in history, like the apostles, they were martyred, they died for their faith, but they weren't going down, they were not killing others, trying to be a martyr in that way. Because God specifically calls Christians, he's not so concerned about the dying as he is the living. And he wants us to be a living sacrifice. Romans comes to mind when I think about this, that we're to be a living sacrifice. Paul essentially is saying this, I have just poured out my life as a drink offering on the sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus sacrificed himself on a cross, and Paul saw himself as a drink offering being poured out on the sacrifice of the cross of Jesus. Paul saw his life as nothing, but his life in Jesus as everything. And that's how we can choose to live as well. We need to live as an offering to the Lord. Are you living like an offering to God? Have you offered yourself to the Lord as a living sacrifice? I hope that you will, and I hope that you'll have that mindset as you choose to walk with Christ in your course of life. There's three ideas I'd like to share with you from this passage. The first is this: living sacrifices eventually die. Paul was living as a living sacrifice, like he taught the Romans in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Have you noticed that first verse, that you're living your life as a living sacrifice? Give your life, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Jesus is not calling us to die, though we may die for our faith, but he wants us to live. He wants us to live as a living sacrifice. So are you a living sacrifice to the Lord? Living sacrifices eventually die. Every one of us will face death one day. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you ready to die should death call you into eternity? The only way to be ready to die is to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Last week, we had some people share testimonies of when they trusted Christ, where they passed from death to life. That's when they trusted Christ. They were born again. Have you been born again? Have you trusted Christ? The Apostle Paul was not saved because he was a missionary, because he was an eloquent gospel preacher, because he knew the scriptures inside and out. That's not the reason why he was saved. He was saved by God's grace through placing his faith in the resurrected Jesus. And that's how we're saved as well, by believing the gospel for ourselves. I can't get saved for you. The people next to you cannot trust Christ on your behalf. You have to believe in your head and in your heart that God raised Jesus, his son, from the dead. That means Jesus is the resurrected Son of God. Have you believed in Jesus for yourself? Well, living sacrifices eventually die. We find that very clear in verse 6. I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. You see, we don't know when our departing flight is going to be called out over the intercom of life. We don't know when our departure is. We can know it soon. Some of us will know it soon. I've been around folks about to die, like I mentioned, and you can tell it's soon for some people, but others, it's spontaneous. We don't know. It's unexpected. Are you ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? So our next point would be this. Living with faith is hard work. Verse 7 makes that very clear. I have fought a good fight, a fight like a battle. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Finishing a course is an athletic reference and a course. And in faith, that's an intellectual heart type practice as well. So these are three areas that are very difficult. I mean, hard work type difficult. A spiritual fight. He says, I fought a good fight. There are spiritual battles. Every one of us are engaged in spiritual battles. And in fact, Ephesians tells us there's spiritual armor. Put on the whole armor of God. And so a battle is very strenuous. It's difficulty all around. And it's intense. And it's hard. It's fatiguing. It's hard work being in a fight. And so the same would be true for us. Living with faith is hard work. Living a Christian life is hard work. You're engaged in spiritual battle. Secondly, there's a course to travel. It's an athletic idea. And there's references to running, walking the Christian life. The idea of sailing and traveling and journeying are all references and analogies in the scriptures as well. They're all good pictures of having a course. There's a course where you start and you finish. I used to sail sailboats, and we would race these sailboats in this bay, and there would be buoys out here. Here's leg one, here's leg two, here's leg three, here's the finish line. So we would be racing, and how many legs to the race? Well, that would be the course. That'd be the course. And we all have a course that God has called us to, and it can be very fatiguing. Traveling can be difficult, and it may take a long time, and there's mental exhaustion and physical exhaustion and spiritual exhaustion that we may contend with. And we all should be flexible, because we think about, I'm going to charter my life. I'm going to set the course for my life. But in reality, we all should submit to, find, and then yield our lives to the course that God has charted for us. Hey, don't be the person who says, follow your heart, follow your heart. No, we need to follow God's heart. Are you following God's heart? Follow your dream, follow your dream. Get your childhood dream and do it. Well, how about following God's dream for our life? Levi Strauss, you know the name Levi Strauss? Very synonymous name with blue jeans in American culture. But that wasn't what he was thinking about when he traveled out west, ended up in California, and he took a lot of heavy fabric with him. And he was going to make tents for people and help with covered wagons, put coverings over covered wagons. When he got there, the townspeople in California, where he was at, they looked at him and said, we don't need supplies for tents. They said, we don't have pants. Why didn't you make pants? Why didn't you bring pants with you from out east? And he started to make pants then for these fellows who said, why don't you make some pants? And so Levi Strauss was flexible. Instead of making tents, he said, well, I'll just use that same material to make pants. And so you have jeans. That's where they come from. A rugged, more durable material. He was flexible. Friends, you need to be flexible. I need to be flexible. Don't follow your dream. Don't follow your heart. Follow God's dream. Follow God's heart. And follow His course. And follow that with all of your heart. Now, this also then teaches us, because he says, I've kept the faith. I've guarded the faith. I've protected the faith. That's a hard exercise as well. And it can be very strenuous and difficult. Remember, living with faith is hard work. And so he's developing his heart and his mind. The Old Testament says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence. It means protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Living sacrifices eventually die. Living with faith is hard work. And then number 3, in verse 8, we find living for God really pays. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not only to me, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Friend, you're included in that all them also that love his appearing, if you really are looking forward to the rapture and looking forward to meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does verse 8 mean in a practical way? Well, let me just break it down for you. We need to live like there's no tomorrow on earth. Live like there's no tomorrow on earth. You'll hear people say, sing songs or say things, you know, live like there's no tomorrow on earth. And we need to specify that. Live like there's no tomorrow on earth. But at the same time, that almost has the idea of eat, drink, and be merry, do whatever you want to do, have a big party with life. Actually, we should be making investments not for just here, but in eternity by how we live our lives. So the second idea would be this: live like you have a tomorrow in heaven. So live like there's no tomorrow on earth, and at the same time, balance that out by living like you have a tomorrow in heaven. That's how we need to look at our lives and have that mindset. That's how Paul was looking at his life. We also need to live like we are a winner with a reward. A lot of Christians are discouraged. They're not thinking about how they're winners in the Lord Jesus Christ. They succumb to their temptation. They see all the problems around them and they get down and depressed and discouraged. But there's a crown of righteousness. There's something that you can win if you're looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ. If you're keeping your eyes on the skies instead of at your problems, it'll make a big difference. Make a big difference in your life. Number 4, live like you're ready to go. We don't know when the time of our departure will be. God knows. We don't know, so we need to live like we're ready. Are you ready? Have you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior? And then the 5th observation, because living for God really pays, is that we need to live looking for Jesus. Live looking for Jesus. Friends, keep your eyes lifted up. Keep your eyes looking on the skies. We're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you looking forward to Christ? Living for God really pays. It really makes a difference both now and forever in eternity. What a thought for us as we end our message today. After church one day, a little girl had learned about the second coming of Christ. And she was asking her mother, just questioning her, and said, "Mommy, do you believe Jesus will come back?" "Yes, I believe that." "Could he come back this week?" she asked. "Yes." "Today?" the little girl asked. "Yes," the mother said. "Could he come in the next hour?" "Yes." "In a few minutes?" "Yes, dear. He could come back in a few moments, even." To which the little girl said, "Mommy, would you comb my hair? I want to be ready to go." Friends, the way that we're ready to go is to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then as Christians, being born again, that we would live in anticipation, a happy, hopeful expectation, looking for that blessed hope and a glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So whether we depart in death or we ascend out of this earth in the rapture, are you ready to meet Jesus? Living sacrifices eventually die. Living with faith is hard work, and living for God really pays. Please take some time to consider how you are giving your life as an offering to the Lord each day as a living sacrifice, and then answer these discussion and application questions. And I hope that they're encouragement to you. And then take some time to pray with your group. God bless.